I'm Christy.
And I'm Kathy.
And this is The Psychic
and the Skeptic. So welcome to the first episode of our new podcast called The Psychic and the Skeptic. On this podcast, we're going to talk about interesting perspectives on all things paranormal. We are paranormal investigators. We've known each other for a long time, Christy and I, and we wanted to get together to share some of our experiences and the conversations that we usually have when we're out investigating together. And we thought that it would be interesting for people to hear both perspectives from the psychic and the skeptic viewpoint, because many of us do have beliefs and maybe personal experiences when it comes to the paranormal. And then there's also that side of many of us that have skeptical viewpoints. And we wanted to put a podcast together that bridges both of those perspectives in one conversation for multiple topics. So we get asked all the time, why do we believe or why don't we believe from people we encounter, whether it's clients or on investigations or just people who happen to meet us at public events, things like that. So let's share a little bit. What do you think, Christy?
About experiences?
Sure.
Yeah. Kind of like what got us into believing.
Yeah. Why are we here?
Yeah.
Why am I a skeptic? Why are you more of a believer? And what perhaps
drove us into this paranormal field?
Right. And how did you recognize that maybe you had certain gifts or, shall we say, psychic abilities?
It would definitely have to be my early experiences. I guess my earliest recollection would be when I was a child. My dad was an antique car collector, and as bad as my mom hated it, he would have, you know, these old antique cars out in our backyard. And occasionally, when it was kind of getting dark, I would look out there and I would see like some shadows passing in between the cars and through the cars. And then I also had a couple of frightening experiences at home. One of those was I was laying in bed and happened to look to my right, and right there beside my bed was this like shadow figure, right? But it was like from the torso up. It was see-through, but yet solid. It's kind of hard to explain, but I remember its eyes kind of looking like an orangish red kind of color. And it didn't say anything to me, but it scared me. Like I was, you know, praying, grabbed a Bible off my nightstand because I was raised very religiously. And one other weird time at home as well was my sister and I, my dad built this 3,000 square foot house. It was quite large on 5 acres. We had to use propane out there, and it was so hard to heat up the house in the winter. So my parents would close off part of the house, and some of that is where my bedroom actually was. Mm-hmm. So my sister and I, she's the one that's directly below me, 3.5 years younger than me. We would pull couches together in the den, and we would sleep in front of the fireplace. Well, I remember one night, I was probably, I don't know, about maybe 13 or 14. I ended up getting up to use the restroom. And the next thing I know, my sister comes running in there and she's calling my name, just scared. And I was like, what? And she said, there's a man in the house. And I went back into the den with her and we saw there was like a 7-foot shadow. And it looked like this see-through man. And he had like a fedora and type of hat. And it looked like one of your old cowboy dusters. And the face looked kind of like if you were to take a pair of nylons and put that over your face so you could see the indentions where the eyes and the nose and the mouth were. But he was coming like from, we had cathedral ceilings in this house, and he was floating down toward me and my sister. And needless to say, we did not stick around. We like ran to our parents. And
so you both saw this with your own eyes?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And we busted into our parents' bedroom and told them that there was this man in the house. And they ended up, my dad jumped up, grabbed guns, you know, and was checking out through the house and all through the property and didn't find anything. So I knew that the experiences that I had was unique and definitely not normal. there's also things from time to time I would see weird things, you know, or I'd hear something and I really wasn't sure what it was. So one day I got brave and I went to my pastor and I was like, hey, I'm like, you know, are ghosts real, you know? And my pastor basically told me that they were all demons and that I shouldn't dwell on those things because if I did, I was going to die in a burning fiery hell. Well, that also scared the bejesus out of me, right? Because I'm this little kid and, you know, I thought, okay, I'm just not going to think about this or dwell about it. And my mom was like on the same page with them. So I just try to put those things out of my mind, but yet that didn't stop things from coming throughout the year. You know, as I got a little older and then in my 20s is when I was like, you know, I want to look a little bit more into this. I know the experiences that I had as a kid were real. I know that I wasn't imagining those things. And so that's kind of when I started getting into paranormal investigating. My own personal experiences did make me more of a believer, right? Because that happened to me. And oftentimes people that have their own experiences will, you know, they will say, hey, I believe in something because it did occur to me personally.
Right. So, and growing up, for me, I grew up in a part of the country in New England where there's lots of history out there. And there were some kids at school that had mentioned, you know, seeing shadows in their homes that were built from a long time ago. So, of course, you know, we also have Salem and the witches out there. So there's a lot of stories growing up where I come from. And I hadn't experienced anything. And so I'm like, well, I need to see for myself. So that sparked some curiosity because, I mean, the people who said that they witnessed something, they didn't sound like they were making anything up. They sounded like they genuinely believed in what they saw. And so for me, I really didn't understand that. And so I read books. I'm like, what is this? What could it possibly be? And, you know, even from a young age, I wanted to try to explain it away. That can't possibly be, you know, that's what you're told. It's like, ghosts aren't real. So why do so many people have an experience? And these aren't people who have some kind of clinical psychological diagnosis by any means. You know, these are people educated, you know, go about their day. They're not looking for ghosts. They just happen to be living their life in their home and something happens. So
I think there's a theory to that, though. I do believe that some people are more receptive to the spirit world. True. I think it's all kind of like about like frequency waves as well. So for an example, think about a radio station, right? And so even me, like when I'm tuning into spirit, I may be on someone's frequency level where I can pick them up very loud and very clear. And then other times it may seem like the spirit is like out there at a distance, right? So the frequency level, that channel is not as strong. And I think there's a lot of people, if they're not open-minded, they're more closed-minded, then I still believe that they're going to have a harder time experiencing those things.
Right. And in working with you and also working with other sensitives or psychics that can communicate with spirit, I've learned over the years in watching you all interact that, you know, you're not all seemingly picking up on the same voice or person or whoever's trying to communicate. We'll be sitting in investigations and like, we'll be working with another team of investigators and they'll have a psychic on the team and they're hearing a voice that maybe you don't hear or you pick up on a voice that they don't hear.
Frequency and, levels.
Right. And so what I do from my point on an investigation is trying to explain that. So even, you know, I'm not always trying to disprove that something is paranormal. Not really. I mean,
I'm kidding.
Any paranormal team, any successful paranormal team is going to have somebody on the team that has to take that skeptical viewpoint.
Yeah, it's good to keep our feet on the ground. Yeah.
Because we could be overlooking something. But at the same time, you know, I'm constantly trying not to completely toss anything just for the sake of trying to prove it wrong or incorrect. I mean, this is a lot already in our first episode, just getting into some of the conversations we have, but
I remember you know, all those times forth. We sat around the table, right, around the DVRs and the camera system, and we're seeing something and you know, and then you say automatically, no, I can explain that. Here's how, you know, and then you give this explanation, which I'm really thankful for, right? Like, I got really excited one time because I really thought that I got this cool light
anomaly.
Yes, on camera, right? And you're like, nope, I can explain that. So no, I appreciate that. You've got to have that.
Right. Well, because like I've always said, anyone can prove anything to be a haunting. I mean, you can hear a bump right now. Ooh, that's a ghost. You know, it's in disproving that we find the strongest evidence. A good reason to have somebody who is skeptical on your team, just to keep our feet on the ground. But at the same time, I've realized sometimes, like, even my quote unquote logical explanation is pretty far fetched, and it would really take a lot for this or that to be moved across a table and call it not paranormal when there's really, you know, no other explanation but the paranormal. So I wouldn't necessarily say I'm 100% skeptical that everything that we experience as a team has to be chalked up to some kind of explanation that leads us away from the paranormal.
So, right. And, you know, what would you say then would be your earliest? I mean, have you ever, and I know this question, but yeah, I'm going to throw it out there. Have you ever witnessed what you would consider to be a true paranormal experience? And if so, what was that?
Well, to be true to myself as a skeptic, I will say I can't 100% say that it absolutely was paranormal, but I definitely have several experiences that I just don't have a logical explanation for. I just haven't found it yet. But I'm also not going to say that it wasn't anything spiritual, because we also haven't proven that that doesn't exist either when it comes to science. So I really think that there can be a bridge to the gap between the metaphysical and the scientific.
So if you had to give an example, though, of something that really made you scratch your head and say, maybe I don't have a logical explanation for that in your time investigating, either with
our team or...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple. So probably the first one where I was like, wait a minute. We were on a residential investigation in somebody's home in Moore, Oklahoma. So yes, we are from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
not quite. That's Texas, girly. And I was doing some kind of electromagnetic field reading, EMF readings. We were in I think it was in a bedroom, and there was a really thick, heavy shelf attached to the wall, and I had to stand on some furniture to get up high. Maybe we were trying to put a camera up there. I barely touched that shelf, and the whole thing came crashing down. It wasn't even leaning on it. It was touching on the actual edge. So that, I got picked on from the team for that for a while,
yeah, because
they thought I pulled that down. But
right. How do you know that it just wasn't a loose screw or something?
Well, the more I thought about it, and that's exactly what the logical, skeptical mind is going to say, is that, you know, somehow it just took the slightest little touch to take that big shelf all the way down. But, you know, we try to not necessarily recreate, especially when things come crashing down, and thank goodness nothing broke and we didn't have to replace something for the homeowner, but that kind of got me, because it really sat with me for a while. I'm like, I know I did not lean on that. I just barely touched that shelf. So again, I'm not going to say 100% that it was paranormal, but it really started making me think. So of course, that's not earth shattering. There's another case that we were on where I think this one was also in Moore, Oklahoma. We've got a lot going on in the OKC Metro.
Yeah.
In this case, this family was grieving the loss of a young adult family member.
Oh.
And we had been in this home doing an investigation and went and reviewed all of our evidence on this case and really had nothing except my personal experience. Now, this is extremely rare. Some of us will have personal experiences. We might feel like we got touched, or we might think we heard something, but nothing shows up on our cameras, nothing shows up in our audio recordings. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those cases. The only quote-unquote evidence we had from this case was what I personally saw. And what I experienced was way early on in the night. We had been doing a walkthrough with the family, and they're showing us around where the activity occurs. And we were in the bedroom of this family member that had passed. And he was young. It was a really, really sad story. And without breaking any privacy, I make it identifiable. But this family clearly was still grieving. His room was kept the same way it was when he had passed. But a corner of the room had pictures of him. It was almost like a shrine in the room in memory of this person. The mother was talking about him And I happened to be glancing around the room just to get situational awareness. And I noticed on the ground, following up towards the picture on the wall, was a little bit of a light. And it almost had that glow to it, much like lightning, but it was a small speck. And I'm the only one who saw it. And my head, again, as the skeptic, was trying to figure out, well, what's nearby? What could that have been? Was that dust? What was shining on it?
Would you say it was like self-illuminating?
It happened kind of quickly that it didn't cast any shadow, but it was lit up and glowing in a sense. So I couldn't see if there's any shadows, but it was really, really small. And it traveled in kind of an S form up the wall. And there was a fan. The fan was rotating and it did not affect this dust. So the dust did not change its pattern when the fan was blowing in its direction. And the fan really wasn't blowing anywhere where it could have actually touched anything there. So all of those things, again, this is what I go through as the skeptic. I'm actively trying to figure this out. But it did make sense that if this was something paranormal, that it happened where it was at the time that this happened. Just as the mother's talking about her son that she's grieving, at the same time, had traveled its way up and brought my eyes to his picture as his mom talked about him. So, you know, I even get goosebumps thinking about it. And that is your emotional response, that your body actually does do chills when something cool happens.
The skeptic side of you, let me ask you this. As far as when it comes to people with gifts, right, those that claim that they're psychic or they're strongly sensitive, et cetera, what is your reaction? What is your thought about that? Like, oh, okay, there's another one that's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right? Or like, because I know for me, when I meet people that tell me that they're psychic or they're gifted or intuitive or whatever you want to call it, it's not that I automatically don't believe them, but I also, and I don't try to judge them in any way, but I also remain kind of a bit skeptical until I see them in action, right? Or I see that something's kind of been verified, or, you know, that they're the real thing. Because I think that people with gifts, it's just there's so many bad things attached with it. And so many people have taken advantage of others, especially when they're grieving,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or when they have something going on. So what is your thoughts on that? How do you approach someone, you know, that wants to work with you or just talk with you or whatever that says, hey, you know, I am psychic?
Well, I'm open-minded in that sense. Like, I don't automatically think that somebody is cuckoo, as you say. And that goes for a client of ours or somebody who is psychic. Because I think, I mean, I've been doing this for, what is it, 16 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with enough clients, met enough people with psychic ability to kind of do comparison. And of course, I work really closely with you. And I've watched even your gift get more and more fine-tuned and improved, mm-hmm. the more we're able to validate what you're seeing and hearing. So I'm open to that when I talk with somebody, when they share what their gifts are. But of course, my skeptical mind is like, well, there's a lot of people out there that wish that they had strong ability,
mm-hmm.
and want it badly enough to say that they are psychic and, you know, they can do readings and things too, but they're really developing their own gifts as well. So I believe we all might have that sort of sixth sense that, mm-hmm. you know, that you can't deny, especially, you know, that knowing or feeling like somebody's watching you and you turn right. And in fact they are. I mean, that is something science hasn't proven yet, but enough of us have experienced that to know that maybe, you know, there could be more to this than just happenstance or chance. So I'm not immediately going to think somebody's crazy. I think they genuinely had something, some experience that alerted them to, hey, perhaps I have a gift here. I mean, your story, you didn't even want these gifts to begin with.
No. Some days I question if I still do. And I think mine was just basically because of the religious aspect, you know, like growing up, it was like fear-based in the religion that I grew up in, right? And so all of this was taboo and you just didn't talk about those type of things. And, you weren't really allowed to have the curiosity or to know. So I wrestled with it for years, you know, and I, being a Christian myself, I just prayed and said, you know, Lord, if it ain't something that you want me to have, then take it. And as you were talking a second ago, that reminded me of Mrs. Hannah's house.
Yes, I wanted to talk about that in this episode too.
Well, go for it, because I just brought it up.
Right, because this bridges the psychic and the skeptic perfectly for this podcast.
And you had an experience with that
too.
Yes,
this is another one of my experiences.
Yeah, go for it.
So it's probably the moment when I realized that really, not that I doubted you, not that I didn't believe you.
Sure.
I just hadn't. No, no,
I'm kidding.
No, we're close friends, despite what everybody listening might be thinking. No, we never really argued about our beliefs. I think that's kind of the nice thing about our friendship is that there's been a healthy respect that, you know, you believe what you believe and I believe what I believe.
Exactly. And it's okay to agree or disagree.
And, and I need to, we can overthink and underthink, you know, at the same time. I can spend too much time, like I mentioned earlier, trying to rule out things as not being paranormal. So that was always there. And I, in getting to know you and to getting to know your gifts, part of what I try to do, so my role in our investigation team is the historical researcher. So we get a client and I have an address. And what my job is before we go out there is to kind of look into some of the claims, to maybe look at the property to see, just because things are old doesn't mean they're haunted.
That's a whole nother theory.
Yeah, that could be a whole other episode. You know, brand new houses, we've had clients where people have had experiences.
Oh, yeah. This was an old house, though.
Yes, this was an old house. So those are some of the things that I'll look into. If there's an old history, there's lots of potential for paranormal.
Right.
So I'm looking at, was there anything tragic that happened there? Did anybody die there? That plays into that paranormal theory that if it was a quick death, a painful death, that it somehow imprints the environment and that creates this place for activity to appear, whether it's something intelligent or whether it's residual in nature. And so,
wasn't the house like turn of the century, if I remember correctly?
Yes, I believe it was built by one of the 89ers, as we say in Oklahoma, the Sooners.
I think you're right.
So it was a Victorian style home.
Uh-huh.
Built, I believe, in 1890. So right after the land run, he was wealthy and he built this Victorian home for his wife. And
kids. They had kids too, if I remember correctly.
They did. And there was a big age gap in them. So he died really early after moving into this house. And so she's left there with all of their kids to finish raising them. So the majority of the time this family lived in that home, he was not present. It was the wife that was the head of the household.
Right.
So part of my job, again, is I look up that history, and I had all of that written down in my notes. And so I had known that she was a predominant figure in this home for a long time. So this particular night that we were on this investigation, I actually wasn't there, if you remember.
I don't remember why, but I knew you weren't there.
I think, well, my husband was out of town for work. My kids were young at the time, so they couldn't stay home by themselves. So I didn't have childcare and decided that I'll just have the internet available in case something comes up. And, you know, you can text me or call me if you had questions about the history, and I can let you know what I found out.
And let me say, before we go to a case, by the way, I am kept in the dark, and that's my preference because I don't want to know anything.
Right.
About
so
the
she
location.
Doesn't know any history
right.
ahead of time and going, and that's part of what makes your psychic ability even stronger, or your ability to communicate with spirit, is because you're able, without knowing the history and the background on a location, you're able to determine if the thought comes from spirit or if it was something that was
planted in there by,
from when I'm telling you what the history is. So the less you know about a case, the more you're able to tell that this thought that you're given or these words that you're hearing psychically are from
Spirit.
Yeah. So you knew nothing about the history of this house. So of course, that's why I was available by text. Just text me if you have a question. I'll let you know when you're ready to know the history. So I get a text from you as I'm sitting there
waiting. Team's inside though. Remember, they went inside to talk with the homeowner.
Right.
And to do their sweep. I stay out if they meet with the client at all, or if the client gives them a history of the house, I wait outside. So that's where I was at on the tailgate of the truck. right? Whenever I texted you, but go ahead.
Right.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Set the scene, right?
Right, exactly.
And I'm at home eagerly waiting for them to ask me questions. And so what you had texted me was that you were getting a dominant female spirit coming forward, talking mm-hmm. to you. And I asked you, oh, that's interesting, because I knew an older female had lived there for decades raising her kids. And even when her children had grown as adults, they took over the household and she stayed there until her death. So she had lived there longer than anybody else.
Well, and I sit on the back end of the tailgate. I just had this woman that walked up to me and she just basically said, "Hi, I'm Miss Hannah."
Yeah, and for clarity, you see or feel this in your mind. You don't actually see it with your physical eyes. Is that correct? Or
yeah, it's not like, well, and I have with physical eyes, but most of the time when I see spirit, it is with my mind's eye.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, and many.
And that's how I saw her.
Many like you with that gift say that as well, that it's kind of like an inner, a third eye. It's like you see them there, but you know they're not physically there.
Correct. Right? Okay. Correct.
So, and then my next question to you was, well, do you have a name? And names are hard to get, mm-hmm. Unless you're some psychic from New Jersey who's clearly able to get names really quick. She's amazing at
that. Well, some people can and some people can't. Right? I mean, I'm 50-50. Sometimes I'll get exact names and sometimes I won't, you know?
Well, this time you actually did. You said you get a name, Hannah. And you at that time had thought that was a first name. Yeah. But I had in the records and in the copies of the deed that the family's last name was Hannah. Right. So it was Mr. and Mrs. Hannah that owned that house.
Which is an odd last name, right?
Right.
Like, that's normally like a first name.
But as soon as that text chimed in and I saw, I get a name, Hannah.
You fell out of your chair.
I got the goosebumps, but I also had a really loud bang in another part of my house. Now, my kids were sleeping at this time. They were mm-hmm. very young kids at the time, sleeping in their rooms. And this noise wasn't even coming from their rooms. It was coming from another part of the house in the direction of our office and where I lived at the time. So I immediately get up and I'm like, what is that? Mm-hmm. I go into the office and there is nothing out of place. Nothing fell off the shelf. There's nothing on the floor. There's nothing broken. But it was loud enough that something had fallen off that bookshelf. But I couldn't find anything. And still to this day, I have no idea what it is. But things like that happen and I hear stories like that. You know, I don't know what that bang was. Was it, if I want to take a paranormal perspective, was it somebody's, like Miss Hannah, saying, yes, that's it, banging on the desk or something in my office to kind of alert me, to get me up and move, to kind of make me stop and think.
Right.
But on the logical side, that's one of those things. I have no logical explanation for it. So these are my experiences as the skeptic in the group, where I'm stumped, where I don't really have anything. And again, I won't say 100% that it's paranormal because of that. I just haven't found what the answer could be and what that was.
Well, what about like when we get some sort of like recorded evidence?
Yeah, there are certain recordings that we get of voices that weren't there at the time when we were investigating. Mm-hmm. But when we play the recording back, we'll go home after an investigation and we'll go through all kinds of audio files, hours and hours of audio.
Yes.
And we usually listen to it pretty quickly after an investigation, so our memory is fresh on what was happening. And we've been doing this for years. And so we're very used to how our voices sound. I mean, I even know Christy's deviated septum or when her allergies are kicking in. Because there's some sounds that might sound like a whisper, but it's really just her taking a breath before she speaks. So
yes,
sometimes you might
asthma.
Hear like a,
I'm sorry.
Hey. But, that's
horrible
the
allergies
that's the good
asthma.
Thing about our team is that we know each other and our little quirks and our sounds and even, what our stomachs sound like when they're growling and then our audio picks it up.
And we're good to call things out too.
Sure,
like, hey,
sure.
That was me, Brian.
Right.
We don't whisper.
Right.
But I thought this one was very unique and we're talking about, what makes us believe and tick. And there are just some pieces of evidence that you've just got to stop and scratch your head and say, wait, I don't think there's any way to disprove this, right?
I mean, I guess the people who know us locally know and have come to our presentations that we've given know this particular clip fairly well. I guess we're locally famous for this particular clip. It is a really strong voice. Now, we have certain rules on investigations where we don't have children with us. And this is a recording of a child's voice.
Right. And I can set up the story.
Yes. And this child was not there at the time. And I also wasn't there at the time, which makes it hard for me as a skeptic because I really need to be there to know, hey, I definitely did not hear that voice when I was there. But it's more of a trust thing at this point. Knowing who was on the team at the time, knowing the rules of the team at the time, like I mentioned, with no children on investigations. Mm-hmm. But this is a clip that the team had captured before I had joined the team. But it is also one that makes me scratch my head. It's one that kind of got me interested in really wanting to keep investigating and go further with this. So yes, go ahead and...
Well, what's unique about this though too is, you know, you've got the homeowners in the background that are talking and this voice is so loud of this child that comes in. But what also is compelling about this is because no one acknowledges her. So let me give a quick little background. So we were contacted by some homeowners in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they were experiencing just different types of things going on, things moving. They were hearing voices, you know, kind of your typical haunting. And so they sent us a couple of pictures. And when I looked in the pictures, I saw this little dark-headed girl. She was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. And so I told my team, I said, hey, I said, let's go investigate this. There's this little girl there, right? So we get on scene and apparently, and most of the time we will have clients that leave the residence. But then there's other times when they're like, no, we absolutely want to stay. So we make arrangements with them and they know that when we start our investigation, there's absolutely no talking. So there were 3 adult females that lived in this home. And they were renting it from what I recall. And apparently after we were done with our investigation, they were going to have some sort of party afterwards. And so they were talking about, you know, food and all this. And then all of a sudden you hear this little girl's voice come in. And then a few minutes later, I captured another EVP and these came off my recorder. And honestly, I did not even hear these at all. And there's no children at all. There were the 3 homeowners and there were like 3 or 4 of us that were there on site.
So you'll hear for yourself in the audio clip that this is clearly not anybody in the room at the time and that it was recorded somehow from
through my
spirit?
Audio recorder. Yes. Let's listen to this EVP real quick. Here's the first one. She was very loud. And again, what was weird is because we didn't hear it. And this is her again a few minutes later. And again, you know, the homeowners are discussing food. So here we go.
So we have a collection of things.
I don't even know.
I don't know what's
going to
work.
I don't know.
But it looks like I'm eating.
Yeah, so, and you see the conversation carries on in the background too. So you would think like somebody might acknowledge somebody who is talking usually. So when we capture these voices, if it fits into the conversation, we often will assume it was somebody in the room. One of us was talking. We just don't remember that part of the conversation. But when there's voices that jump in and nobody responds to them or talks back or says, hey, wait a minute, you know, oh, we're not ready to eat yet.
It's more questionable.
Yeah, there was nobody directing this child.
Right.
So, but what really gets me is knowing the strict rule we have that we don't have young children on an investigation, especially at somebody's private residence. And if the homeowners have young children, we usually ask that they stay with a friend or a family member during an investigation just to avoid this contamination in our audio.
And, you know, in all my years of doing this, I think one of the things that's made me a believer, not just from my gifts, but also the recorded evidence that I have gotten. And yeah, while it may not be 100% scientific, I know what I have recorded and what my team has recorded that's made me a believer. So now let's think about, and this is something I wanted to bring up. So, you know, you have a lot of these places that claim to have specific ghosts, and there's one in every state or more, right? So, for example, here in Oklahoma, it's actually in Guthrie, Oklahoma, we have the infamous Stone Lion Inn. Yes. So we have investigated that, oh my gosh, over and over and over again. And I would honestly say it's probably one of the most haunted places within Oklahoma. You can't pay me enough to stay there overnight. All right. You just can't. So, but anyway, for years, the owner would tell us that, oh yeah, the family that lived here, they had a 6-year-old daughter and she was accidentally over-medicated by kind of like the housekeeper / nanny with cough syrup. And back then it had, what was it they had in it? Was it some sort of, I don't know, opioid or something? Anyway, she overdosed and supposedly died. And the rumor is that her ghost still haunts the residence. And even the owner had talked to one of the grown siblings that were elderly. This has been years ago, but they're like, oh yeah, I remember our sister, right? So Kathy does research for us on this, and I'll let you take over from here with this story. So, and basically debunks the little girl's story.
Right. For the longest time, the legend was that she's the one that haunted the location, but I went through some old census records and found that she had lived well into her adult years and died as an old woman. So we did a little bit more digging into the research and found that there was a pregnancy loss from the family, but not while they were living in that home. And it was of a little boy. It was when they lived in a different state. You know, history really helps us in determining what some claims we may hear about a place, whether that it's valid. It kind of helps point us in the right direction about what might be going on. And if there really is some kind of spirit there talking to us, who might it be? So it doesn't mean that there wasn't truly an experience. It's not saying that they didn't actually see a ghost, but it just might not have been who they thought it was. So that's some of what I try to do as the researcher into the history. You know, I try, even though I am skeptical, I still try to see, all right, well, if this was a ghost, right, who could it be? What could have happened in that area that kind of points to that direction? So I really love digging into the research. And it helps Christy with validating her visions she hears or what spirit might be saying to her, because it's not always a clear message. And so if I can find something in the history that tells the story that she heard with her mind's eye,
Miss Hannah,
it validates her gifts and actually helps her to understand what she's seeing is actually truly possibly coming from spirit.
And honestly, it just makes Kathy more of a believer regardless.
And that's her goal, right? Turn the skeptic into a believer. Yeah. So you get the idea. We're here to discuss lots of topics about the paranormal.
Oh, yeah.
From the viewpoint of
the psychic
and the skeptic. So if you enjoyed this episode and you would like to find out more about our paranormal group, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/okparanormal, or you can check out our website, okpri.com, and we do post lots of our findings, or some would call evidence, of the paranormal. Or if you have your own para story that you would like to send to us, or even if you want to let us know some topics that you're interested, you'd like to hear us discuss.
Or comments about the show.
Yeah, hey. Absolutely. You can email us at psychicandskeptic, all spelled out, @gmail.com.
And let me say one other thing. Our Facebook page, a lot of times when we go on investigations, we will post Facebook Live. We post lots of good stuff on our Facebook page. Evidence even goes on there. So check us out. Give us a like. Follow along with us. We've got a lot of followers already.
We're excited to keep this podcast going for you. So you can find us wherever you enjoy your podcasts. And thank you for listening.
Because you know, the paranormal is the normal.
Not yet understood.